matters today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive Cosmetic Dentistry. It was this date, October 30th, 1966, when Baltimore quarterback Johnny Unitas threw for 252 yards, and in doing so passed Y.A. Tittle to become the NFL's all-time passing yards leader. Unitas finished his career with 40,239 yards. Pop quiz time for the boys. Johnny Unitas is currently, let me check, I believe, he is currently 14th on the all-time list of passing yardage leaders. Need the top 13. How many can you get without getting three strikes? Who you got? Some easy ones. This is the easiest pop quiz you've ever had. Who you got?
Passing yardage leaders
all time.
Favre.
Favre number one. Tony.
Manning.
Manning number two.
Marino.
Marino number three.
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon is number seven.
Danny White.
Unbelievable. You stop after four names. You stopped. All right, strike one. Who you got, Tony?
I'll go. How about the other Manny, Eli?
Eli is coming up. He's 18th, but he's okay. Not there yet. Who you got? Two strikes already.
Steve Young.
Steve Young is nowhere to be seen in the
strike two.
Tarkenton, Testaverde.
I was going to say
Dan Fouts.
Yeah, there you go. Start ripping them off. You got Brees is four, by the way. Drew Brees is fourth all time. Wow. 53,000.
Brady
yards.
All the way up there already?
Brady is, well, Elway is five. He's got 51,000. Brady is right behind him. Brady will pass him this week. We'll pass John Elway this week and go into the top five, assuming he throws for 270. This week, he'll pass him. Warren Moon is seven, as we said. Fran Tarkenton at eight. Vinny Testaverde is nine. Drew Bledsoe is 10.
How about that?
I know. 44,000 yards. And, you know, a career that had Brady, had he not gotten injured, maybe he plays a few more years, you know, compiles a few more numbers.
Didn't Montana pass it before he retired?
Dan Fouts, 11. Kerry Collins is 12.
Wow.
Right ahead of Joe Montana.
Yeah, I would have needed about 40 strikes.
Now here's the one that will go to. It used to be a great trivia question when you read this guy's, if you framed it the right way. This guy retired as a top five passing yardage leader in almost every major category. This guy finished top five. He played his career in the decades of the 1980s and 1990s for six different teams.
Steve DeBerg.
No, not a bad guess, though, but it's that kind of guy. Steve DeBerg's 26th all-time.
Wow.
Passing yard. Dave Craig.
Wow.
He was, when he retired, because all these guys flew past him since, most of these guys flew past him since. They're either still going or they retired after him in a lot of cases. There you have it, man. Top five.
Six teams for Dave Craig. I thought Seattle, Kansas City.
Yes and yes. I'm trying to bring up Dave Craig's page, and I'll tell you here in a second. But in the meantime, all that combined, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway, featuring the Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. And whether it's for you or a loved one, it really is for your loved one, because they will appreciate it greatly. Give them a call at 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Seattle, Kansas City, Detroit, for a year, Arizona for a year, Chicago for a year, and 2 years in Tennessee at the end of his career. Huh. So that was all the last 5 years of his career, just split it around. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
By the way, real quick, happy 33rd birthday to Jags Leo, Chris Clemens. As he does celebrate a birthday today. According to multiple sources, the Washington Redskins will be starting Robert Griffin III at quarterback against the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. RG3 dislocated his ankle week two against the Jags, has not played since. Colt McCoy took over for Kirk Cousins at halftime against the Tennessee Titans 2 weeks ago and has led Washington to two wins, including the win over division rival Dallas in overtime on Monday Night Football. Week 9 of NFL action gets underway tonight with a big one. In the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints at 3-4 find themselves just a tie game. I don't know if it's a half game, technically. I have no idea. Behind the Carolina Panthers in the division with the Panthers at 3-4-1 on the season. Tonight they play in Carolina with the division lead on the line at 8:25 on the NFL Network. It is not on CBS tonight.
Not on CBS tonight?
No.
Why?
It transitions back to the NFL Network.
Oh, just all NFL Network the rest of the way.
Yep.
Well, boo. I don't like to watch it on my phone if I don't have to. I don't have the NFL Network at the house.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you're not a DirecTV.
No.
Oh, I thought you'd be this, like, because you do all this other.
No. I mean, I never failed to keep up with the National Football League and never, other than games, never really missed it.
So do you have the MLB ticket?
No.
Oh. I'm not
a ticket person.
So you don't watch your team. You watch your teams when they're on national TV.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Well, I don't
that.
Have DirecTV.
I got a kid. I got a wife. I can't watch 162. Can't do it.
I'm glad it's still on. Even when it was on both, I watched it on NFL Network because the picture was better.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So. I don't know.
I didn't notice.
I didn't really notice. I think the best, speaking of noticing, remember when Jeff raved about, what was it? Jeff Prosser raved about
oh my gosh,
golf on high def TV.
Well, he got a high def television, and he came in the next Monday, and he was raving about how amazing it looked. He's like, "This HD, I can't believe everyone hasn't been doing this for years."
2 years ago,
and it wasn't hooked up. He was watching it in standard on just a nicer television.
Tremendous. Love you, Jeff Prosser. All right, there you go. That's the Honda Drive around the NFL, New Orleans and Carolina, getting it on tonight. Well, I guess that makes it a little bit easier for me to focus in on Florida State and Louisville. I won't have to.
Yeah, you can watch on the phone.
Honestly, I'm watching it for the stats anyway tonight.
Can you not hook it up on the iPad somehow, that whole deal?
Probably. It's just, I mean, I might as well just watch it on the phone. You know, I've got the NFL mobile deal.
I think Florida State comes out tonight and rolls Louisville.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I know Rick Ballew's been worried about this game all season. But
well, I mean, they've played down to a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma State's not gangbusters. Clemson's not gangbusters. NC State's not gangbusters.
I think if this makes any sense. I think they're going to play up to an unranked team because of the atmosphere and
maybe
the stage.
Yeah, and a lot of talk about the fact that this is the one that could trip them up.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that whole situation works itself out. All right, Mercedes Lewis, hear a little bit from him right now as he spoke with some of the media yesterday back at practice for him. And looking back, as we talked about, it's been going to turn into about a 9-week injury when it's all said and done. And he kind of reflected on the injury and missing time.
I put a lot of work coming into this season and trying to be in the best shape that I could. And one play could just have it, you know, snatched away from me. So that puts a lot in perspective. I've been able to sit on the sideline and kind of learn that way and lead the best way I could from the sideline. But now it's time for me to get back in there and kind of put my touch on things.
How big of an impact can he make? Not just in the running game, but just overall, giving you a red zone target?
Yeah, I mean, I always sort of roll my eyes when they say, well, he's such a great blocker in the run game. He's not, well, I don't, you know, so what? He's here to catch touchdowns, and he's here to convert third downs and be the quarterback's best friend. I would say you're coming back from this injury. You got hurt run blocking. You're running down the field. You know, be in shape.
He could work for SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio with that attitude, by the
sure.
way. Who cares if he can run block?
If nothing else, maybe it gives you the opportunity to at times to get one of your rookie wide receivers off the field so that you can have Mercedes and Clay Harbor on the field instead, which I don't think at this point. We've seen the confusion from these receivers at times this year. I don't think it can hurt you to have that opportunity.
I think it is important, though, his blocking ability, because you're talking about an offensive line that, for the most part, has been shaky this year, at least at various aspects in most weeks. There have been very few clean games by that offensive line.
Yeah, and in the game and a half he did play, he struggled in the run game too.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to be serviceable when that gets back, but I think where he helps this offense the most is as a receiver.
Moving on.
Yeah, Mercedes also talked about he hasn't played a whole lot with Blake, but was asked what advice he has given Blake Bortles.
Believe what you see. You know what I mean? Like, you're a baller. You're going to make plays. You're going to make mistakes. And if you're fortunate enough to play in this league, there's going to happen again. So you can't go out there and worry about what you just did. this team needs you. You know, you're a leader, and, you know, basically just keep making plays and doing what you do.
Mercedes has been
a baller.
He's been a big proponent
of called him dope and a baller.
I think, he has. But, I mean, whatever lingo he uses, he's always come out when asked about him with a very strong attitude, like, this guy's the real deal. He's legit.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he's not where he's going to be right now at this instance. But he seems to have indicated from his perspective that this guy's going to be a player in this league.
Yeah, and from Mercedes' perspective, the reason why he liked playing with Chad Henne as well is these two guys, you don't need to be wide open for them to throw it to you. They're going to throw you a ball, a 50-50 ball, go get it. Blaine wasn't that guy.
Right.
So I think from Marseille's perspective, he knows if he even gets a half step, this kid is going to try and get him football.
Finally, Mercedes talked about how he has seen Blake Bortles dealing with handling mistakes.
He's so cool. Yeah, he's upset when he makes a mistake, and he wants to be perfect. We all want to be perfect, you know. It's how you handle it after the mistake, and he's just so cool, and I can respect that because I'm kind of the same way.
Did Mercedes just tell us how cool he was? Was that, or is he just saying that when you make a mistake, you got to put it behind you, can't dwell on that?
Mike is telling people how cool he was.
Yeah, I haven't thought so too, actually, on that whole thing. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in. We'll come back with more Jaguars today. Look more at the Jags matching up with the Cincinnati Bengals. And that is the focus of the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today, which asks you, in which matchup did the Jags have the biggest advantage and disadvantage as they square off with Cincinnati this Sunday, looking for win number 2? Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks here with you. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Don't let me down.
Don't let it go down.
See, but Lawrence turned it for you. Don't let me down. That's what we're talking about.
I can't have Ryan go down.
You sick before we go to London. What's wrong with you over there? Huh? I know you do. You have allergies? You're allergic to your iced coffee? What's going on?
Did Tony give that to you?
You sick?
No, I had allergy stuff. I was never that bad. I'm good now.
Last week was allergy stuff?
Thursday afternoon was not. Into Friday
morning.
No, I didn't
think so. No. That didn't sound like...
Mike kept saying you're on assignment.
No,
what I always say whenever someone...
I was on assignment. I was on assignment to my bed for about 20 of the 24 hours last Friday. I did get up and go in and do the high school show because I know if
you're
I was in hacker seat,
right,
and the other guy was like, yeah, I'm just not going to show up. You got to talk high school football for 2.5 hours by yourself. I would have been furious, so I showed up and did that. But that was literally the only 2.5 hours I was out of bed.
What kind of message are you sending, though, to that high school football? Is so grueling. And
Friday morning, I couldn't
call. Gut-wrenching.
I woke up. I didn't have a voice when I woke up on Friday morning. By Friday night, I could speak. So I didn't come in for...
Right, but I would think you love high school football so much. You're thinking about going to see Flagler Palm Coast tonight.
Yes,
right?
I am.
Right?
Watch him play Mandarin.
That you would relish the extra airtime that would come from Hacker being a no-show on a Friday night.
I would do the show.
I'm trying to hype up the high school football.
No, I would enjoy doing the show, especially this time of year with everything coming down to the last couple weeks of district play.
Do you ever cover high school football, O'Halloran? Coming up in the ranks?
I did.
Yeah.
I covered my first high school football game when I was still in college, so 94.
Where'd you go to school?
Kansas State.
Okay.
So I covered high school football in 94, 95, 96, 97, full-time 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003.
All right. Did you like it? I mean, was it a stepping stone to something? Obviously, it is, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I rose from, you know, up the ranks. You know, I still included high schools in my coverage, but I did a lot of other stuff.
I got you.
But like people like will ask me,
I'll
well,
say
he's
on that high school beat a long time, Tony. Damn.
my last player of the year was Gerard Mayo.
Oh yeah, how about that?
So he was in my district, but people say, well, you're not interested in high school football. I've covered high school football. I don't need to go to see high school football.
Right. Anymore. Look, I think high school football is a phenomenal deal. It's just I don't have a personal connection to it. You know what I mean? I guess you could say I don't have a personal connection to the NFL, right? I mean, but I enjoy rooting for my teams that in all the sports that I grew up rooting for when I was a kid. You don't watch your favorite high schools on TV. Yeah.
But I mean, as funny as if I would walk the sidelines with the clipboard, keeping my own stats, and then the notepad, keeping the play-by-play, because we didn't have to tweet or anything like that, thank God.
That's true.
I thank God that they do tweet.
For your purposes, Tony's
I have all the some up. Idea of what happened on Friday.
My first job on the other station in town, or my own first show, was doing a high school scoreboard show on a Friday night, and we launched it. Frank Frangie and I and several others, we had a luncheon where we invited a bunch of coaches. They all turned out. They got a free lunch. We said, hey, like, here's a contact sheet. Give us a call after the game. We're kind of in the dark here. It's not the Twitter age back then, right? One, maybe two a week, right? We get one or two scores, and we'd have, like, we might know so-and-so ran for 120 yards, and we'd stretch that thing out, man. That kid would get talked about for 45 minutes. I wonder, was it a bunch of 7-yard runs? Could it have been 5 20-yarders? I don't know, because we had no idea. That was, it may have soured me on the whole experience, to be honest with you. You got it easy now, Tony.
I got live scoreboards and tweets.
Yeah, live scoreboards.
We got coaches calling. We get 10, 12 coaches every Friday.
Occasionally, Fox 30's website back then would have maybe 5 or 6 scores on it. They were the only guys I could count on back in the day to maybe give me a few. And then on it went from there. There you go. All right, 641-1010. You want to get in and talk Jaguar football here on Jaguars Today. James, you're next up on 1010XL 92.5 FM. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
I was wondering, we'll use Blackman for example, but I heard y'all yesterday saying a guy's still under contract for the rest of his contract for the time he's suspended. Or he still has to carry out his contract. So Blackman suspended for 8 games. He still got 2.5 years left on his contract. What happens, like, on that third year when it's after 8 games? Are they negotiating in season, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll be honest with you. I don't know the answer to that, but what I've read is certainly that your contract kind of freezes in place, right? But if you played 8 games, or you're suspended for half of a season, or whatever the case may be, and it may work out that it just lines up perfectly for him, how would that work? That's a really good question.
Well, it'd be
James.
Unprecedented. There's no such thing as a 6-month extended contract, but I don't think we're ever going to get to that point.
You don't, but I don't know if you're in the minority or the majority or not on that. You just don't think he's ever going to be back here playing. You think he ever plays in the NFL again?
I think he'll be in a camp, but I'm sure somebody will give him a shot. But,
and you don't think he'll be good enough at that point? You think his skills will have deteriorated?
I think that's definitely a possibility.
Well, it's a possibility, yeah, certainly.
That he gets into a camp and a team just says, boy, they were right. You can't run.
Man, you just have so low an opinion on his skill level, in my opinion.
I do have a low skill. I do have a low opinion of his skill level.
You really? Oh, man, I don't know. If you can't run, what enables him to have 200-yard receiving games?
Well, the fact he went, the fact that Champ Bailey helped him out in that game last year.
Get a lot of guys that can't run having 200-yard games. Are these pretty common in the NFL?
I think he stinks.
You are just, wow, diametrically opposed viewpoints we have on that. But, James, it's a good question.
If this team is ever any good, it will be because he's not on it. He will never help a team win at any point anywhere.
Wow. Why are you so sure of that?
Oh, no, I'm not,
that's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. I mean, it's a very strong one, and that's fine. We like strong opinions. I just really think that if he truly gets himself cleaned up through this process and gets reinstated by the National Football League, he's still young enough. I guess I have a higher opinion of his skill level to begin with. You have a low one.
Well, I think that's the first
and that's
part,
the philosophical difference. Yeah, you don't think he's that good to begin with. I just, absolutely disagree with you, but that's okay. I guess time will tell on all those aspects.
And it's funny, like, you get these emails and these calls too, and you're, when's he coming back? It's not even on the table yet. You know, like he's a missing piece to this team right now. And I know you're not saying that, but some people, it's like his legend grows when he's away.
I think people feel that they've seen enough of a glimpse of him when he's played that if you believe that the young players on this team will develop and get better, and you could potentially have a core of Justin Blackmon, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee somewhere down the road, that could be pretty good. I tend to agree with them. I think I'd still prefer to see that, and I don't know if Marquise Lee turns into that pure burner. I'm not saying Justin Blackmon is a DeSean Jackson, going to throw it over the top to him every time. But he's got incredible hands. He's very strong running after the catch, and whether he's running away from guys or not, he's broken long plays. He has a knack. Anquan Boldin's not a burner, yet he's played a long time in the National Football League and been really good, put up big numbers.
But, you know, he's also a guy going on.
I understand
like,
that.
That's a big
thing. That's not what he, but
is it Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, and Marquise Lee next year?
Compare Justin Blackmon's skill set to Anquan Boldin, other than the mental aspect, all right? But just the physical tools that they have to work with. What does Boldin have over Justin Blackmon?
I have no idea.
You've watched Boldin play.
Yeah, I just think he's a playmaker. He's a physical guy. I mean, everybody says Blackmon's. I think he's just a complete and utter zero.
Man, you're just watching a different guy than I am. Let's go to Dave up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
I just had a comment and a question. I'll pose my question first, and then I'll justify it with my comment. Why do we keep Toby Gerhart on this roster? He is awful. He's been hurt since he started. He's been paid an ungodly amount of money to gain like 2.9 yards every time he carries the ball. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, 6 months from now, you may be right.
Correct. But you're in the middle of the season. What are you going to do? You cut Toby Gerhart, you're just going to have to find another running back. That money, by the way, once in every veteran player's career, if they're cut after being on the roster for the opening week of the season,
guaranteed.
You can get, it's not guaranteed, but you get termination pay, so it's essentially guaranteed. Mm-hmm. They'd have to pay him the money anyway.
Yeah, he would have resurfaced somewhere else by now. So
right.
But on Gerhart, I understand the frustration with his lack of production. You know, he's probably played one game in one quarter where he's been healthy. Now it's like, now Denard has emerged, but he's emerged for two games. You know, this is a big second half for Toby, you know, the role he's going to play, you know, the future here. I mean, let's face it. This wasn't a bank busting contract. It was a very team friendly contract. So if they move on from him after a year, so what? You give it a shot. From his perspective, he should be, you know, he's got to get a chance to show he can at least move forward on a running game. So,
and right now, if Denard keeps running well, he's not going to get that opportunity. At best, right now, I think, you know, he could prove to be a useful goal line back, maybe a third down kind of back. They're not throwing the ball much to the backs out of the backfield, and they're not in position to have too many goal line carries on this football team. And the times he's had short yardage carries, he's been slow to hit the hole. Yeah. So I agree with the assessment. He's giving you nothing, but there's no point in cutting him in the middle of the season.
Correct. And, you know, let's say Denard had a great camp and Toby started the Philly game and got hurt and Denard was a little bit productive, then maybe they could afford to shut him down a little bit. Shut him down for a couple weeks, get that ankle right. Instead, he tried to play through it. So for Toby's sake, you know, get some carries. And I think they should use him a little bit in the passing game. Get him moving that way.
Where he actually did pretty well when he was in Minnesota.
And I'm actually looking at his contract details. He got a $3 million roster bonus already from the team this year, plus his salary this year is guaranteed, mm-hmm. which I think is $1 million. Next year, it's just $1 million for Toby Gerhart for the entire season. It's when 2015 and 16 come into play that he was going to get the back end of that money.
Right. So you may keep him next year anyway.
Right. That's really cheap.
Depending on $1 million.
Yeah.
All the rest of this money is sunk cost. It's already gone. And you'd actually take a bigger cap hit to release him next year. It depends on what, you know, you can, you keep him around for another year, I'm not saying he's the answer to anything. Right. I'm not saying he's not replaceable.
Right, but it's $3 million for the last 2 years of his contract, basically, each year. But next year, the Jags will be on the hook for $1 million to keep him.
And by the way, I mean, you know, you may draft a guy in the third or fourth round next year who could turn out to be...
Third or fourth round? Two overall, Gurley.
You just had him take Amari Cooper. How many picks are you going to have in the top five? Simmer down over there. Unbelievable.
When they trade Blackmon for the fourth overall pick.
Too. Oh, that's right. I forgot. But nobody will give you that, Tony, because he can't play. Right? Harvey, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today.
Yeah, hey, guys. Good afternoon. Listen, I just wanted to comment about Justin Blackmon. You know, I thought that guy was a thoroughbred among a bunch of pack mules out there. I don't know where your colleague, your guest is.
My name's Ryan, idiot.
Hey, all right. He's angry with you now. Hang up on him. He's talking to me. I'm not hanging up on him. My colleague, Ryan, all right, is Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. I agree, despite the fact that he didn't address you by name, I agree with the sentiment. 415 yards in four games. You disagree. That's where we're at.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. Moving on. All right. 641-1010 is the number if you want to get in. We will take a look at the fan feedback.
I don't know why these people feel like he's a member of the family. He's played like a season and a half here. Just get rid of him and move on.
20 games.
Why?
He's played 20 games.
Get rid of him. He was on pace, and only threw a month, for 1,600-yard season as a receiver in his second year. How is that a guy who can't play?
I don't think he's going to be any good.
Was he ever any good? You don't think he was ever any good?
No.
So that just happens. Guys average 100 yards a game all the time in the NFL.
Not any good.
Okay. All right. I think that flies in the face of the empirical evidence.
You thinking if he surfaces here or somewhere, he's going to make a Pro Bowl?
Does he have to be a Pro Bowl player to be any good?
A fifth overall pick.
So is that the you don't think he's fifth overall pick? Or you're saying he's no good, period. You're saying he can't run. You're basically saying he's a scrub who can't play. That's your attitude towards him, right. So you're not even talking about it's not a question of does he live up to the fifth overall pick. That's a party foul on my bad. You're saying he can't play at all.
Well, maybe he's a fifth or sixth receiver somewhere.
All right, I just don't know. That's your opinion. We diametrically are opposed on that.
Because here's the thing about Blackmon's. Let's say he does come back somewhere and has two or three good games like he did last year. What happened when he had two or three good games? He got suspended again. How is he? Would you trust him to handle any kind of prosperity?
That's not what we're talking about right now. You're saying he can't play, period. Yeah, he's never been any good. Period. That's your point of view on him.
But I'll take
I'm not saying, I'm not guaranteeing he's going to come back and clean up his act. I can't guarantee you that. I don't know that.
I wouldn't give him a shot because I wouldn't trust him.
Well, that's you.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of guys have gotten second and third chances and have turned out to be good players. You know, so I understand the point of view. If you don't trust him, that's a different story. To say he can't play, I think is wrong. But again, we've stated our case. We're not going to change each other's mind. Let's move on. Fan feedback spotlight today asking you, Jags, biggest advantage, biggest disadvantage when they match up with the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll do that next. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
A long, long time ago.
Oh, no.
I can still
Lauren, clever. Very clever, Lauren. Very clever.
I may have gotten a little help on Twitter.
Oh, that was good. That was a nice suggestion right there. That's fantastic. Well, you know what? Safe travels, Brian.
Brent Martino is freaking out.
Right now. I know.
Oh, absolutely. And,
you know,
sorry, Brent.
Safe travels to you as well, Brent. Everything's fine. Air travel, they say, safer than getting behind the wheel of your car.
That's
right.
I remember.
You got to play Sister Christian next. That's his comfort song.
I remember, like, it was
too bad we're out.
I was flying from Washington D.C. to Beijing. And it's daylight the whole flight, like 13-hour flights. You take off, you head straight north, go over the North Pole, and you could see the beginning of permafrost, which is kind of cool. And I said to the lady next to me, I said, if we went down now, it'd be a little bit of trouble.
Right.
she didn't like that.
Be like, well, the movie, was it Alive?
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Where like, they went down, yeah.
You talk a lot about crashing in planes, buddy.
We fly as much as I do, you gotta laugh about it.
Yeah, plane fan. Well, he's the one who brought up, said they'd be better off, you know.
Oh, I know.
After a near miss Hayes on a landing.
Hayes laughed.
Yeah. Hey, it's all good. Hey, I'll laugh too, you're not on my flight. Brent, it's okay. It's all right, Brent. You're the golden child. Nobody can touch you, man. Everything's gonna be just fine. All right, today. What a weird show. The Fan Feedback Spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking Jaguar fans daily what drives you. Today we ask you matchup versus the Cincinnati Bengals. What works in the Jags' favor? What doesn't work in their favor? Tony, give us an example of what we got, please.
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar, the Not Being Ginger sweepstakes. He says only he may make that joke. I think that's an Irish thing. From Matt, we got Denard Robinson versus Cincy poor run defense. I assume that's their advantage. Return of A.J. Green and Jags cornerbacks. I assume that's a disadvantage, maybe. And special teams, they didn't really list what was what there in that tweet. From Jeremy, take advantage of the toe, A.J. Gangrene. From Eric,
pretty good.
We got should be able to run on Cincy as an advantage, but our injured defensive backs having to cover their wide receivers is trouble. From Duval Doom, our quarterback is better looking. All right. From Mike, the Jags have better helmets. And from Nick, running the ball and stopping the run. Hashtag run the ball. Hashtag feed D Rob. Hashtag more storm, less Toby.
All right. This is pretty good by Derek on Facebook. Derek Stewart on the Jaguars Today Facebook page said, Jags advantage. Better radio broadcasts and shameless compliments. I get it. Okay. Took me a minute, but I get it. Clyde Sumner said, stopping the run won't be easy to run on us. Go Jags. That's an XL shirt I need. That's Clyde's move. He's been ordering up the size every time.
It's nice.
Assuming that one of these times it's going to come through for him. Maybe it will. But I like Derek's pandering today a little bit more. So what do you think? Jags versus the Bengals. Matt, what works in the Jags' favor here?
Well, not a lot. Tony mentioned earlier Cincinnati is not very good against the run either. And part of me, it's going to be fascinating to see Jed Fish's play calling. He said on Monday, he said, hey, got to move on from the interceptions, got to move on from turnovers. We're still going to be aggressive. We're going to still let the kid throw the football. Then they try and pound it a little bit and say, hey, let's take some of the pressure off him. Try to get in some better situations, so
which I don't think is a terrible thing.
I think it's you got to try something different.
He 90 yards in the first half, and then you come out and you throw that early pick six in the second half. And I know hindsight's perfect. No guarantee if Denard runs it in that situation. Maybe he coughs it up right there at the goal line. But
so I would maybe that's one thing to look for. And you know, Cincinnati AJ Green coming back, that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, it definitely appears like he's playing at this point.
Yeah, but I think this could be a big day for the Jaguars pass rush. I mean, Andre Smith at right tackle has been absolutely terrible the last couple weeks and, you know, balance of his career. Chris Clemens usually goes against the left tackle. I maybe flip those two as I flip my mic.
You did flip the mic completely around. That was interesting.
And, you know, see if they can get some stuff with their four-man pressure. So, I mean, the best chance to win is like they did with Cleveland, get a cluster of turnovers and some short fields.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. Will the turnovers come? And if you try to play more aggressively to force more turnovers, do you end up giving up some bigger plays on ones where you might have been able to shut them down with a small game?
Yeah, and this staff has showed no inclination that they're going to be blitz heavy. So it's up to that four-guy rush with maybe a linebacker mixed in. If they get a turnover of sack quarterback.
And some of it's a little unlucky, too. Like, when you get a free run shot and hit a quarterback in the back, sometimes the ball pops out, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's because you're reaching around. But you see a lot of those kind of fumbles in the NFL. A guy just gets hit and kind of crumples, and it's the sheer force of the blow that pops the ball loose. They haven't had many of those either.
No. I mean, I'm probably putting too much of an emphasis on that, but it is a good statistics, which is good to talk about, the lack of fumbles on those sacks. But these quarterbacks in this league are used to getting hit, and they're used to being able to prepare themselves to get sacked, so they're not going to fumble all the time. But, I mean, I think a good sign last week is they finally, remember all those batted passes they've had this year? One finally went in the air, and they caught one.
True.
That's how you win a game like that on the road.
Yes, and that was a touchdown, basically a point-saving turnover, regardless of touchdown or not. That's an automatic three from that spot on the field.
This is also a Jags team that a lot of the pressure they're getting on the quarterback is right up the middle. I mean, even when they go to that lightning package, you're talking about a three technique, and Ryan Davis has been the star of that. That's in the middle of that offensive line. That's easier for the quarterback to see.
Yeah.
And get himself ready to get hit in that kind of situation than it is when it's a defensive end or a linebacker on a blitz coming around the edge. They haven't had a ton of success with those kind of plays around the edge, and
that
maybe that's
blindside hit.
Right. Yeah. Maybe that's part of that too.
Yeah, it is. It's easier to see. It's tougher to avoid, I think. Quarterbacks hate it when a guy's coming right at their feet.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But you're right. At least it gives them the
it's been Marks
wherewithal
and Davis
to maybe protect themselves protect the ball a little bit. Fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships featuring Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda. You can visit TomBush.com for more information when you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. Let's get a couple of calls in. And despite the fact that I like to be at times the haymaker with the idiot, okay? I like to throw that word around. We'll see if we can go 3 minutes of semi-civil discourse as we close out Jaguars today. Josh, you're up next on 1010XL. How are you?
Hey, can I speak to Ryan, please?
Oh,
he's always here. What's up?
Your dime, your dance floor.
No, I just think you're like totally wrong about Justin Blackman. I mean, I think he might have something personal going on with him, because every time he's been on the field, our offense looks miles better than what it's ever been. And he's really the one thing that's holding us back on offense the past couple years. I mean, just go back and look at it. Career high receptions, 190 yards at Denver, 200 plus in Houston his rookie year. Like, come on, man.
Well, I'll disagree with you, and Mike, I hope you would back me up on this. Nothing personal.
It is nothing.
It is. I've hated so many players that I've covered, yet it doesn't affect.
Good to know.
he is not one of them.
I don't know any reason why you would have anything personal against Justin Blackman.
Yeah, it's a professional opinion that people disagree with.
Yeah, and that's so be it.
So, if this team is 1-7 right now, what would the record be if he was on the team? Would it be any better with a rookie quarterback?
Maybe not this year. But again, I don't think that's necessarily the sole focus of the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
I
mean, I think the heart of the matter is you just don't think he's very good at all. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. So if I'm pushing that point of view too far, the floor is yours. But I just think that to me, whether you think he would help this team to more wins or whether you can trust the guy, all those are very valid issues. But I think the actual, just the evaluation of him as a talent, I think we differ on. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, trouble helping a good team.
Okay, yeah, all right. Jonathan. Is up before we close things out. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Jonathan.
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to say that I think Justin Blackman would definitely win us more games this year. I think his talent is that has been the highlight of the last couple years. Tell me anybody, another name that has really given us more excitement than Justin Blackman. Besides Blake Bortles.
Well, anger.
Okay. So our punter gives.
He's kidding.
Well, Jonathan, I do agree with the fact that the performance against Denver was impressive. But can he string those games together? Can there be the consistency that can make him an elite receiver? That's where I just didn't see it as rookie year. People say, well, look who he played with, quarterback. Doesn't matter. I mean, you're not, hardly any of these guys played the same quarterback year after year after year. So, but maybe he would have won them a game earlier this year.
We are talking about a guy that would be going into his third year playing the position. I mean, he did catch 65 passes his rookie year. He was great when he was on the field for a month last year for this team. I mean, you did see steps forward for Justin Blackman as a wide receiver there during the month that he was on the field last year, despite the fact that he had missed the first four games and came in and really helped this offense. I do think that you could see a progression for that guy. And it usually takes receivers 2 or 3 years to figure it out. And it seemed when he came in last year that he was starting to figure it out.
Lauren Brooks, can I give you a couple of numbers to call the people that would agree with me?
Absolutely, Ryan.
You know what? The next time we're back in the States a couple weeks from now, we'll do exactly that.
All right, I'll line a couple people up.
Sure.
Right. So
you do my job.
To be clear, Ryan O'Halloran,
PayPal.
Fan of Skittles, not a fan of Justin Blackman. That's why, but it's nothing personal, all right? It's just he just doesn't think he's what we think he is, and that's fine. Ryan, safe travels, all kidding aside. I'll see you there.
Same to you.
Monday, I guess they're going to practice. They're getting in early Monday morning, and the first practice is like 1:30 local time on Monday.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that because we won't be there for that.
You guys won't make it in for that?
Because me and Brent land at like 11:30, so by the time we go through customs and hotel, so it'll probably be after that fact. So
yeah, what airport are you flying into?
Heathrow.
You are? Okay, I don't know what the proximity. We're flying into the other one.
Gatwick.
Gatwick, yeah. And if I read the rundown right, it's a good little ride from Gatwick just to get in. So I don't think the team's going to get to the facility until about 11:30 noon local time. But I know some of the guys over in the BCB UK showed me the itinerary. They you know, had invites. They got that workout.
They're there Monday, yeah.
Mid-afternoon on Monday, and then Tuesday, the normal day off. So I expect it'll be something, you know, pretty light, obviously. It's going to be, wouldn't you think, it's going to be more of like
It'd be like a walkthrough slash autograph session.
Exactly. You know, something like that. I don't think you're going to take them off what would that be, an intercontinental flight?
Transatlantic flight.
Transatlantic.
But it does do what the studies have shown is when they get off the plane, you want them to get out and stretch the old bones, so to speak.
All right.
Before you get them on a little bit of a schedule.
I'll see you in Europe, Ryan O'Halloran. There he goes.
I hope.
At Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. There he goes. And thanks to all the sponsors every single day. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Hey, guess what? Tomorrow, David Garrard out of town. Donovan Darius going to join us on
cool.
the show tomorrow. So we'll look forward to that coming up. XL Primetime right around the corner. Thanks to Lauren Brooks. Thanks to Joe Fortunato. For Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Mike Dempsey.